open to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to read verse 5. So Exodus 13, verse 5. It shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall observe this rite in this month. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray you would bless your word to us. I pray in Jesus' name that you would teach us, that you would help us. Lord, we want to glorify Jesus Christ. We want to know Christ and love Christ and hunger and thirst for Christ. Teach us what this means, Lord, a land flowing with milk and honey. I pray that you would help us to understand more about heaven and hunger and thirst for it. I pray, Lord, that the people in this room would reach heaven through Christ. Would you help me, Lord? Fill me with the Spirit to preach your word today. Help me to tear down every idol. Help me to denounce every lie of the devil. Encourage the hearts of your people. Feed us with the good words from your scriptures. Oh, Father, you know that I cannot preach on these things in myself. So I pray, Lord, that you would speak. You would use your word to guide us, to change us, to help us. Take this time and bless it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus 13:5 is talking about the time of Moses and where they are going. So let me review a little bit so we can understand what this means. The first time I was preaching about Moses, I said, we can see the gospel in that Moses was going to rescue the people from Egypt. And what does Egypt represent? Do you remember? What is Egypt? They were slaves in Egypt. What does this mean? What? The world, but more specifically, the kingdom of Satan, being slaves to sin. Pharaoh is like the devil. Egypt is his kingdom, this great, powerful kingdom, and the people were slaves. And this teaches us and shows us that the Lord is going to bring us out of this sinful, miserable place. And then, the second time, last week, I was preaching on the Passover. The Passover was a special festival where they would remember that in their last night in Egypt, what did God do? He killed all of the firstborn. But those that took the blood of the lamb and put the blood on their doorposts, their houses were protected. They were saved. This is how they came out of Egypt. How do you get a million people out from under the most powerful dictator in the land? You kill all the firstborn until he's so afraid that he lets them go. That's what God did. But he spared the people, and he said this, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." He protected them by the blood of the Lamb. The curse did not come upon them. But we're not finished talking about Moses. I suppose we could spend years and years going through the Old Testament, looking at each person, looking at each book of the Bible, in each chapter, and seeing examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ, shadows and pictures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to look at one more. They started in Egypt. The great miracle, the great night of redemption was the Passover night when the blood of the Lamb was shed. But they had a goal. They had a destination where they wanted to go, a new land, a new country. And I believe if you really read about this and you really understand what is this place, you'll realize it's talking about heaven. It's a shadow, it's a picture of heaven, being with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. Look again, chapter 13, verse 5. Chapter 12 is the Passover. Chapter 13, the story continues. And he's telling the people in verse 3, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of this place." A powerful hand, so powerful, he killed all of the firstborn sons. That's how he brought them out of the devil's power. He protected them with the blood of the Lamb. And he says, remember, don't forget how God saved you. Never forget. Celebrate the Passover every year. We celebrate the Lord's Supper week by week, month by month. But they would celebrate the Passover once a year. And it was a very important time so that they would never forget. Every year they would sacrifice a lamb. And they would do it on a certain day of the month of Abib. Verse 4, "On this day in the month of Abib, you are about to go forth." Go forth? Where? Where are they going? Verse 5, "It shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite." This is the land. We say Canaan. Actually, there were many tribes. There were the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. There were a lot of different tribes living in this country, but the big one was the Canaanites, and they called the land Canaan. This is their new country. You're leaving Egypt, you're going to Canaan. The people living there were very sinful. God was going to destroy them, and he was going to give their land to the Jews, to Israel. Now, we're almost to the main point. Verse 5, "The land which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey." So this is the main point today, milk and honey. Think of a land, Moses said to the people, "We're going to a land that flows with milk and honey, like rivers of milk and rivers of honey." What does he mean? He's using this example of milk and honey to teach them about how wonderful this place is. In Egypt, they had a small area for so many people. They could barely fit in the land anymore. They need a bigger place, a spacious land. And the Lord said, "I'll take you to a new country, your own country, and it is a good land." Now, I want to spend today thinking and preaching about heaven. And these two things, milk and honey, I think if we think about them in the Bible, we can see what heaven is like. One time I tried to preach about heaven in the U.S. It was very hard. After I got done preaching, I felt like I failed miserably. How can you teach about heaven? No, none of us have seen heaven. None of us have been there. When we read about it in the Bible, it's so hard to catch with our mind because it's so wonderful, it's so high, we can't describe it with our language. So I realize today I will do a very poor job of showing you how wonderful heaven is. I know that very well. But we need to think about heaven. The Lord wants us to think about heaven. There's many things in the Bible written about heaven to encourage us, to make us happy, to make us hungry for heaven. Now, we were watching a video the other day. Sierra and I were watching a video about India. And the man was talking about Buddha. Buddha started Buddhism, the religion of Buddhism. And the man in the video was very arrogantly saying, very proudly saying, that Buddha was a great teacher, and he didn't have to threaten anyone with hell, and he didn't have to promise anyone the reward of heaven. He doesn't need heaven and hell. His way is good enough without them. But this is very foolish. This only shows that Buddha was ignorant of the truth. He didn't teach about heaven and hell because he didn't know the truth. The Bible says there are two places after death, heaven and hell. Now, it's right to use the Bible and warn people. You want to go see, brother? It's right to use the Bible and to warn people about hell. Hell is very fearful. Hell is a very bad place of God's judgment and punishment. But today, I'm not talking about hell. Today, I'm talking about heaven. Because it's right for us to think about heaven and to become attracted to this great reward in the next life. So, milk and honey. Why did God say milk and honey? There was milk in that land. There was honey in that land. But why not use other examples, other words? He sometimes would say, I'm taking you to a spacious land, a good land, a land where you can dig copper, a land where your silver and your gold will multiply, a land of wine and grain and barley, a lot of crops, a lot of blessing, a land where the rain continually falls. He's talking about the land of Canaan, next to the sea, next to the Jordan River. In this land, it was a very blessed land. But most of the time, when we read about Canaan, he says over and over, a land of milk and honey. A land of milk and honey. Flowing, lots of milk and lots of honey. So let's think about this. First, milk. Why milk? What is so good about milk? Why do we like milk? Well, what does the Bible say about milk? When you think about the word milk in the Bible, what comes to your mind? One of the first things that came to my mind was 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, earnestly long, like a newborn baby, long for the milk of the word, the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Milk helps you grow. Milk makes you strong. Milk is very rich. Milk makes you very fat. Milk makes you very healthy. It gives you life. This is what we think of, this is what we read in the Bible about milk. Now think about all the different examples. When little puppies are born, little dogs, what do they need? They need milk. When little cats are born, what do they need? They need milk. When cows and goats are born, little small animals, very weak, very small, they need milk. And if they get milk, their life grows. They get stronger. They get more years, more strength. And so it is with us as well. When we're babies, we need milk to grow. Milk is very healthy. when I was a young boy, I'd watch the TV, and they had a lot of commercials, a lot of advertisements on the TV. People would drink milk, and they would show their big muscles, or they would drink milk, and they're very beautiful looking, and then they would always say on the TV, milk, it does a body good. Milk, it does a body good. It was a very famous advertisement, and it's true. Everyone knows this in every culture. Milk does your soul, your body good. It makes you strong. It's better than water because it's so rich. So something we're learning about heaven. Canaan is the promised land. You have to cross the river to get to Canaan. You have to leave Egypt to get to Canaan. It's like heaven. You have to leave the world. You have to leave the devil's kingdom to make it to heaven. You have to go through the wilderness of life before you can reach heaven. This world is like the desert. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but they go into that land to possess it. And finally, when they fight all the battles and the war is finished, they will have rest in the land of Canaan. It's a picture of heaven. So my first point is this. Heaven is a place where we are made strong. Heaven is a place where we grow and mature. Heaven is a place of life. Just like a land of milk. Heaven will be like a land of milk for our souls. First, think of this. Now, you may think this is strange, but let me explain with another scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're reading about the resurrection. And I'm drawing out three things from milk: strength, growth, and life. 1 Corinthians 15. It's talking about heaven and the resurrection. First, let's think about strength. Heaven, we will be made very strong. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 43. It's talking about the body. Let's start in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In heaven, your weak body will be made strong. It will be raised in power. So this is my first point. When we think about this land of milk and honey, think in heaven, we will be made very strong. Right now, your bodies are very weak, and my body is very weak also. If you preach for a long time, your voice gets tired. You lose your voice. If you work for a long time, your body gets tired. You live your life, you get very sick. You get diseases. You get old. You die. You get weak. If you get hit, you fall over. You break your bones. You get injured. Our bodies are very weak. But in heaven, this will not be true. In heaven, our bodies will be raised with power. Sown in weakness, raised in power. We will be very strong in heaven. This is because of Jesus Christ. God is not weak. God is strong. And where we are going, where we will live with God, we will be made strong with Him. We will be made like Him. Think about this. In heaven, there's no crying. There's no tears. There's no pain. There's no sickness or weakness. And at first, this sounds almost like a dream. It sounds like, how could this be true? But I want you to think for a minute. This is very important. It says the angels, they never cease day and night to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." They never stop saying that. They say it with such a loud voice, the temple shakes when they speak. Why is it that their voices, the angels' voices, do not wear out? They never stop saying that day or night. Why is it they don't get tired and they have to go to sleep? Because they've been made strong. Here, if you sing and pray and praise God for maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, you'll start to get very tired. Okay, I like to worship the Lord, but I feel very tired. But in heaven, that won't be the case. You can worship all day long, and you feel great, and you feel strong, and you can keep worshiping. You won't grow tired of worship. You won't grow tired of serving God. If God sends you on a mission, you go here, you do this. You'll go, and you'll feel ready for another mission to serve the Lord. We're given strength. Here, our bodies are so weak. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Couldn't you pray for 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But in heaven, we will be made strong. Resurrection bodies. It is definitely a land flowing with milk, where the baby grows up and becomes very strong. And this will be a great blessing as we walk with God and worship God, that we won't be doing it in weakness anymore. You will be like the angels, able to serve God and love Him with all your heart, with all your strength. Conrad Murrow was a preacher in America, and he said this. He said one time he had such a wonderful experience of worshiping God. He said, finally, I found something that I don't mind if I do it forever. He was worshiping the Lord. He was praising the Lord. And he realized, this is something that I'll never get bored of in heaven. This is something I could be happy doing this for thousands of years, worshiping the Lord. And it's true. In heaven, we'll be able to worship Him forever. Use our strength for Him. Because God is strong, we will be strong with Him. Look in verse 49. The resurrection. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Milk makes you grow. And in heaven, we will grow. We will grow and we will mature. Think of it this way. On the earth, your image, if you look at who you are, if you see your life and your character and your ways and your habits, you are like an earthly person. Now, when you become a Christian, God begins sanctification. He's changing you slowly. But in this life, we're very imperfect. Even the most holy Christian is nothing like what he will be in heaven, because in heaven we see Jesus face to face and we are changed to be like him. We grow, we mature, we have a new appearance, a new image. And it's not the image of the fallen man. It's not the image even of the man that's being renewed in a process. It is the image of Jesus Christ that we will be changed into. In a moment, we will be changed. When we see Him face to face, we will bear His image. Right now, we barely see Him through a dark glass on earth. And so therefore, we are still very earthy. But in heaven, we will see the Heavenly One. We will see His face. And we will become heavenly. We grow into something. If you look at a newborn baby, it's very different from a fully mature man. His image has become more full. Even sometimes, you look at a child, maybe 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, and very quickly their face starts to change. Their face starts to look like a man. Their face starts to look like, she's not a little girl. She looks like a woman. Wow! And it's very amazing. But I want you to know, right now, we are all children. But in heaven, we will mature. You'll not be the way that you are now. God will change you to be like Christ. This is the goal. This is where we're going. It is a wonderful place where you don't have to look at dirty old you anymore, where you don't have to look at all, and you won't have to live in all of the sins and the failures that beset the Christian. All the enemies will be put down, and even who we are will be changed to look like Jesus. Now think about this. This is our goal, conformity to Christ. When I read the book of Revelation, and when I read the book of Ezekiel, I see angels coming down from heaven that are so amazing, they look like Jesus Christ. And this confused me for a while. I used to think, well, that description of that angel is so glorious. Maybe that's Jesus Christ himself. But then I realized, wait, they're bearing his image. There's a reason why, even though they look glorious, you must not worship them. And the angel says, no, no, don't worship me. Worship the Lamb. Worship the Son of God. They bear his image. Around their face is a bright light and a rainbow. Their voice is so strong, it shakes the temple. It says their eyes are glowing like fire. Their feet are like burning bronze. Well, that's the way Jesus Christ is described. But they're bearing his image to some degree. And we know that the children of men and women that are saved by Jesus Christ in heaven, they will be changed to look like Jesus Christ. What will this be like? Not only in our appearance, but in our character, in our words, in our desires, in our love. Isn't it true in your life you want to be more holy? You want to be godly. You want to love with a pure love. You want to love your enemies. You want to love your friends. You want to love like Christ loves. And yet, in the flesh, in this life, plagued by sin and the world, we are very weak. And our character is still very flawed. But in heaven, it won't be so. All of the pride that you find in yourself now in heaven will be gone. All of the foolish words will be gone. All of the false words will be gone. All of the times of anger, all of the times of selfishness, all of the sins that attack us and that try to grab us in this life will fall off. And you'll bear the image of Christ in heaven. You'll be mature because it's a land of milk and honey. There, you'll grow strong and be changed into his image. In heaven, if you could walk around and meet all of the people, they would be amazing people. When you would talk to them, it would be like you're talking to Jesus Christ. They're so full of love. If you could meet a saint right now, it says the saints in heaven are perfect. Perfect. If you could meet them and talk to them, if you could for one day go to heaven and even talk to the Christians, not Jesus Christ, not God himself, but even just these Christians, they're very different now. Everything they say, you would feel like you're in the presence of someone very holy, very loving, very wise, very honest, very true, because their character has been changed. You'll never hear a bad word in heaven. You'll never see someone get angry or be selfish in heaven. Everyone will perfectly love each other. If God gives a special gift to one man in heaven and gives him an exalted place, all of the other people will be happy that he exalted this man. They won't be jealous. It's a perfect world of love, because we're finally mature. We're not acting like children anymore. Now, I don't want to say that you cannot grow in this life. You can grow now, but in heaven, you will be full grown sons and daughters of God. It's a land of milk and honey. And certainly we'll grow in our understanding. what we know about God, what we know about Christ, what we know about the cross, what we know about history and salvation, the mysteries will be revealed in such a deeper way. Some Christians in this life, they get a lot of wisdom. Some Christians in this life, they don't get very much. But everyone in heaven will be so wise, will have such an understanding of who God is, because we'll see Him face to face. We'll be mature there. Now, the last thing about milk is, I said, it gives life. And heaven is eternal life. Look in verse 53 and 54. What is the resurrection like? For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. A day is coming when there will be no death. It will be swallowed up. There will be full victory. Death is the last enemy that Jesus Christ will cut down. Death will die. Death will be gone forever. And heaven is eternal life. Hell is eternal death. But heaven is eternal life. There's no more death. No more dying. It will never end. It will never be finished. It will never fade away. We can barely understand what this means. Let me ask you a question. I'll give you a test. What is the name of your grandfather's father? What is the name of your grandfather's father? How many know in this room? It's a hard question. Why? Because he's been dead for many years. Maybe you never met him, or maybe you saw him one time in your life when you were very small. Most people, they don't know the name of their great-grandfather or of their great-great-grandfather. Why? Because death is in our world, and you live only a short time, and you will be forgotten. You realize you have already forgot your grandfather's father's name. You don't even know his name. You forgot him. He is forgotten. They don't talk about him. They don't tell stories about him unless he was very, very, very famous. Life has moved on. Here, life is very short. It goes by very quickly. But heaven is different. Heaven is the opposite. Heaven, after you spend 1,000 years with God, in love, in joy, it will be like one day. After 1,000 years of heaven, it will be like only one day has gone by. Heaven lasts forever. We cannot comprehend forever. This word is so amazing, but it's true. Here, nothing lasts forever. You buy a car, it lasts maybe 5 years, 10 years, and then it's broken. You buy a house, it lasts maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then it's broken. Nothing lasts forever here, but heaven is forever. It's a new world, a new life with no end. It goes on and on. Just like milk gives us life, so heaven, there is eternal life with Christ. Why? Because God is eternal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you are with Him, you will be living with Him forever. If you are in Christ, it will go on and on. To never be alone, to never be forgotten, to never die, to never perish. When I was a little boy, I would think about death, and it was terrifying. Not because I was afraid of the act of dying and the pain. I just thought, what would happen if I didn't exist? if I stopped thinking, if I didn't exist. And that thought terrified me as a little boy, because I knew I don't want to be erased. I don't want to disappear. I don't want to not exist. I want to keep living. Life is precious. Life is valuable. Heaven, no one will be erased. No one will disappear or die. We'll live on forever with the Lord, with our God. So, this is the milk. Heaven is a land flowing with milk, strength and growth and life. And now I want to talk about the honey. Everybody likes honey. Honey is sweet. And we read Moses told the people, I'm going to bring you to a new land. The Lord said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, why do you like honey? Because it's sweet. You put it on your tongue, it makes you feel good. When you read the Bible, what does the Bible say about honey? Proverbs says, eat honey because it's good. That's what it says. It says Jonathan took his stick and he dipped it in the honey and he tasted and his eyes became bright. Wow, that tastes very good. Honey is like nature's sugar. It's like nature's sweets. The bees make it. It's there on the tree. You don't have to work to produce it. It's natural. It's a gift of God, like fruit. You take a bite of a very sweet fruit. It's just ready. You don't have to cook it. You don't have to do anything with it. Honey is sweet. We like it. It brings us joy and delight. If you just eat bread, white bread, brown bread, just eat plain rice, nothing with the rice, only plain rice. If you just drink water, there's no taste. But honey is sweet. This is teaching us about heaven. Heaven is a land of honey. Now, I don't know if you know this. Some people, when they're a new Christian, or if they're not a Christian, they think to be a Christian means you're always very serious, you're never happy, you never laugh, you never do anything fun. To be a Christian means your face is always straight, and you stay very quiet. And this is not the Christian life. There are times to be serious, but the Christian life is the greatest life. It is the life with the most joy. It is the life with the most delight. The lost man, he's trying so hard to get joy from the world, but it's like he's eating all this bitter food, trying to taste something sweet. The true honey is in heaven. The lost man is grabbing the garlic and the onions, and he's grabbing the lemons and all of these sour things. And all of these bitter things, the Tita Kerala, and he's taking these things. But this is the joy of the world. The best that the world can give you, it will never give you the true joy. The true joy is with God, is with Jesus Christ. So many times, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like honey. The blessing of God is like honey. It's very sweet. It says His word is like honey. The Bible, when we read the Bible, it's like honey in our mouth. These are the words of God. But I want to give some examples from something else that's sweet, and that is the fruit. What is the sweet fruit for the soul? What is the sweet honey for the soul? Well, if you remember, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's very tasty. It's very sweet. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. And so I want to say this. Honey is picturing this joy, this delight, this love, this peace that we will enjoy in heaven. Heaven is a world. Do you see that? 5:22. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is a description of heaven. That is what heaven will be like. A world full of love, full of joy, full of peace. And it will be very sweet to our soul. So, first, think about love. Love is like honey. Love is what people want. Love is what makes your life happy and joyful. Love brings meaning. Everyone wants love in this life. They want love from their friends. They want love from their husband or their wife. They want love from their children. They want love from society. They want to be loved. People want love because love is from God. Now remember, the Bible says God is love. He is the true source of love. That means if you go to heaven where He is, you have come into the land of love. And it's very sweet to our soul. Because we will be with Jesus, because we will be with God Himself, the land will be very sweet. Every day will be a day full of love between us and the Lord. Now think about this. Do you know the love of Jesus Christ? Have you seen His love for you? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? And have you tasted of His love? In this life, we see His love most clearly when we understand the gospel. Not when we think about, He gave me a house, He healed me when I was sick, He gave me money, He gave me a job, He gave me these physical blessings. No. When you really see His love is when you realize He died for me. His love was so great, He died for my sins, for my bad deeds. He sacrificed Himself for me. We see that here in this life, and we get a taste of His love. But do you know what? Our taste in this life is very small. You have begun to taste the love of Jesus Christ, but you have not tasted it all. The Bible says the love of Christ is so large. It's like an ocean. It's wide. It's very far. It's very high, very deep. To know the love of Christ, it passes our understanding. But in heaven, it will be like not just a little honey on a slice of bread. It will be like a river of honey flowing out of the hills. Honey flows down. The love of Jesus Christ in heaven. There. Now, sometimes in this life, we experience this love from God. And sometimes we experience this love even from other people. For example, I had a friend in my job in America. She was my coworker, and she was so loving and she was so nice that even the lost people, even the unbelievers, they recognized something was different about this woman. She was so loving, always helping, always nice, always smiling, always kind. And one time I was with one of the lost co-workers, and she said, "You know that lady?" I said, "Yes, I know her very well." She said, "She is my favorite person." Now that's amazing. Why did she say that? She is a lost person, and my friend was a Christian. But she said, "That lady is my favorite." They're not friends. They're not family. They just work in the same place. Because she saw the love coming out of her. When you get around someone that is full of love, it is wonderful. They become your favorite person. You want to spend time with them. You want to sit with them. You want to talk with them. You feel comfortable with them. You enjoy being with them. That's what people are chasing after in this life. If their hearts are hungry, they're trying to fill it with love. But you won't find the true love in this world. It is in Jesus Christ. There we will be with Him, face to face, and know His love in such a great way. Also, joy. Think about joy. Joy is like honey. Honey is very sweet. It brings delight, not just to your tongue, but to your soul. Think of the happiest times of your life. When were you the most happy? Sometimes when I have a big reunion of all kinds of friends and family, and it's been a long time, and they all come together in one place, in one house, and we have a lot of food, and we can spend time together talking. I feel so full of joy at this reunion. Heaven will be like this. Heaven will be like a communion and a union with God when we finally get to see Him face to face and sit with Him. There will be such joy there. What will we do in heaven? You never have to leave. The party is never finished. The invitation is never worn out. You stay in heaven all of your life. We read that men praise God in heaven. We read that men walk with Jesus Christ in heaven. We read that men sit with Jesus Christ around the table. And we feast with Him. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're remembering that one day we will all sit around the Lord's table in heaven. We walk with Him. We sit with Him at the table. It even says we will sit with Him on His throne. We will have access to God. And this is what unbelievers do not understand. Why is heaven so great? Because you can be with God, be with the Son of God, be in the full presence of God day after day. Communion. It will be full of joy. It will be like a holiday that is never finished, with no end, with the most loving person, our God. And the last thing I want to say is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. So heaven, where God's Spirit is fully, it will be a land of peace. There will be no enemies, no wars, no more devil, no more demons, no more temptation, no more fighting. The war is finished. The enemies are done. You don't have to stand guard. You don't have to keep watch. You don't have to beware. You don't have to fear. The enemies are destroyed. It's peace. It's a land where there are no enemies. It's a land where everyone wants the good of one another and wants to worship God. There won't be any unbelievers. There won't be any people spreading lies. There won't be any unbelief. You'll never find anyone doubting God. Everyone, it will be perfect peace in heaven and rest. In heaven, who is there? God is there. The angels are there. All of the believers are there. That's the family in heaven. There won't be the outsiders. There won't be the enemies of God. It will be peaceful because there will be love and there will be joy and there will be no disruption. Heaven will be perfect unity. There won't be sadness. There won't be any danger or crying or being afraid. It will be a land of peace. That's where we want to go. That's the land of milk and honey. To be with Christ, to be made strong, to be changed into His likeness, to be able to worship Him fully, to be able to love Him, to be able to have joy in God, to be able to have peace with God forever and ever and ever. That's heaven. To walk with Him, to talk with Him, to see him, to see his face, to look upon him. That's heaven. That's the land of milk and honey. So now I'm finished, but I want to give some application. First of all, for the lost person, if you are lost, have you realized the purpose for your life? You were not made to try to get all of the milk and the honey, all of the gold and the silver here in this world. This world is like the desert. This world is being controlled by the devil. You were made to gain eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. You were made to love him, to see him, to worship him, to live with him. Heaven is your purpose, to be there with him always. Most people, they don't know their purpose. They're just blindly going through their life, making money, buying food, eating food, sleeping, raising their family, dying. That's not the purpose of a life. There is a better land, a better life with him. If you're lost, do you realize this? America is not the land of milk and honey. I meet so many people in India and in Bangladesh. They want to go to a foreign country. They want to go to Dubai. They want to go to Singapore. They want to go to America or London because they think that's the land of milk and honey. It's foolish. I'm from America. It is not a land of milk and honey. If you go there, the streets are clean. They have big stores. There are lots of cars. There's a lot of good food. That will not make you happy. The people in America are miserable because they don't have God. To be with God, that is the milk and the honey. I don't want anyone from India to go to America. I want you to stay here and find the true riches in Jesus Christ. If you go to America, that won't make you very happy. You think it will? You're wrong. But if you find Jesus Christ, he will give you the true joy. So that no matter where you live, no matter what your country is, you could live in the poorest country in the world, in some tiny village, on some mountain, with no electricity, with no water. But if you have God, he will be your joy. I'm very fearful when I meet people that say, I want to go to a foreign country. I want to go to America because it makes me think they don't know Jesus Christ. Their eyes are on the ends of the earth. But the true treasure is in Christ. Another application is this. All other religions, they get heaven wrong. If you're lost, if you're from a different background, a different religion, you have not been taught the truth about heaven. No other religion teaches heaven truthfully. Many religions, like I said, Buddhism, they deny that there is a heaven. Or there's other religions too. They say there is no heaven. But even the religions that say, yes, there is a heaven, what do they teach? They're very foolish. They speak of heaven as being a place where you get all of these physical things, physical food, physical reward. You get a lot of women in heaven. That's what the Muslims teach. It's very foolish, very sinful. Heaven is not about being a selfish man, being a proud man, being puffed up, having the joys of the world. Heaven is about worshiping God. Some teachings like the Buddhists or like the Hindus, they say when you finally reach the perfect life and live a perfect life, you just heaven is kind of like you kind of disappear and you just kind of dissolve and become one with God and you have no more thoughts, no more existence. That's not heaven at all. Heaven is to be with God and to worship him, to love him. Only Christianity teaches the truth about heaven. Now, for the Christians, what is the application? If you are saved, there is some real helpful things when we think about heaven. First of all, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But Christian, remember, you can get a taste in this life that will help you hunger for heaven. What did the Israelites have? Moses told them, come, let's go through the desert. We're going to Canaan, a land of milk and honey. And when they were going through the desert, they had no food. And so God sent manna from heaven. Do you remember, what did the manna taste like? Wafers with honey. That's important. Why did it have the taste of honey? To keep in their mind, where are we going? We're going to a land full of milk and honey. They would collect the manna like little fine pieces of bread. They would collect it into a pot and they would boil it and they would bake it and they would cook it into little cakes. They would eat the cake and it tasted like wafers, like crackers or biscuits with honey. I think God was helping them. And my point is this. When you think about heaven, that is our goal. But even now, you can begin to enjoy Jesus Christ. To taste. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. Have you learned when you read His Word? Have you learned like the psalmist? Oh, how I love your law. It's like honey in my mouth. It's sweet to my taste. Have you begun to taste the joys of heaven? Because I want you to be tasting it every day. We need to keep the taste of the manna in our mouth. We need to constantly be refreshed by the love of God, the joy in God, the peace of God. Because where we are going, that's what we really need. That's what we were made for. So it's important that now we collect as much of the manna as we can. We get more experience, new experiences of the presence of God, of the blessing of God, so that you keep pressing forward through the desert, so that you don't give up, so you don't say what they said. We want to go back to Egypt, where we had the fish and we had the leeks and the onions. No, keep pressing forward to the land of milk and honey. What is the greatest experience of God that you've ever had in your life? What day was the most special day when God's presence came the closest to you? When God's voice was the clearest? When God's joy was the fullest? What day was it? Do you have one day? Do you have 10 days? You can have lots of days where you have special joy in God. And this is what we need. We need to hunger. We need to thirst. We need to say, Lord, don't let me get bored. Don't let me become dry. Don't let me become like a man who hasn't tasted anything sweet in a month. Give me the good things to keep my eyes bright, to keep me hungry, to keep me thirsty for the promised land. If you've had a special experience with God, my exhortation, my application today is have more. Seek out the Lord. Keep seeking the Lord. It's amazing. The Lord, He is such a fountain of life. He is such a fountain of joy. It's different than the world because you taste of Him and you become more hungry. It makes you full, but it makes you hungry at the same time. It makes you satisfied, but it makes you long for more. And that's what we want. And one day, we will have as much as we can possibly take in heaven, like a river of milk and honey. When we read His Word, when we sense His presence, when we receive answers to prayer that are very special, This is just a small portion, a small glimpse of what is coming in the future. It will be so good to be with Christ forever. Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. It will be so much better than I could ever preach to you, than you could ever understand. We cannot even begin to realize how great God is. But in heaven, we will experience more. Jesus said this. This is the last word. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me." Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Amen. Let's pray. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come to Thee. Lord, we want to leave this world. We want to make it to heaven. Oh, Lord, how happy we would be if one of us were to die today that we're saved. It would not be a tragedy. It would be the greatest reward of our life to be with You, to see You, to love You. Oh, Father, I pray that You would give us more of a taste of heaven, more of a down payment of the Holy Spirit, more of a glimpse of Your face. Shine upon us. Oh, Lord, I pray today for the unbelievers. Show them what they're missing. Show them the true reward, the true purpose, the true life in Christ. Oh, Father, we all want to be done with sin. We all want to be changed to speak and think and talk and act like Jesus Christ. We all want to go to heaven where we will have such strength to worship You. Oh, Lord, help us to make it there. Thank You for this word. We thank You for the gospel, the true good news. Oh, Lord, I thank You. Thank You for Your eternal purpose. And thank You for Your kingdom that's coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come and take us to be with You. Oh, I pray, help us to live as heavenly as possible, heavenly minded here on earth, to fix our hope, to live in a heavenly way here. Give us, Lord, more of this milk and this honey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.